And some people are known for their cutting, sarcastic comments. I know that when I was a teenager, I had a way of being that way, and I realized it wasn't a productive way to talk. It wasn't helpful. It may have been, you know, some humor in it sometimes, but it wasn't a nice way. I didn't want to be known for saying those cutting, nasty things. And so people are known for how they talk, what they talk about, the amount they talk, whatever. Some people are known for not saying anything, or very often not saying much at all. And some people are known just for talking a lot. But we are known by our speech. And so as a book that deals a lot with the practical aspects of life, like the book of Proverbs, it's no surprise that there are a lot of references to our speech in this book. Now tonight we're not going to look very far in the book, just mainly staying in this one chapter, Proverbs chapter 10. And look at least 9 verses in this chapter that deal with our speech in a message again entitled, What Are You Talking About? There are many things we can spend time talking about, but what is it that comes from our lips? What are we known to be like with our speech, with our language? And so let's pray together, and then we'll get into the scriptures tonight and think about some of these things in these 9 verses that talk about our speech. Lord, tonight we are thankful that we can be here. We thank you for the Bible that gives us such practical instruction and practical commentary on life. And Lord, this our speech is something that we are known for, we are known about, and it's such a vital part of our life. Lord, you've given us mouths to speak, and even sometimes, though we feel that we don't know the right adequate words to say, Lord, you've told us that you will be with our mouth, and Lord, you reminded Moses when you called him to go to Pharaoh that you made the mouth, and you can give us what we need to say. So Lord, as we see things in this portion of scripture tonight that maybe we need to eliminate from our speech, or maybe we need to implement into our speech, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to realize that by your grace and by your strength we can do that. And Lord, that we'll be better for it and be better testimonies of your grace because of it. And so speak to us, I pray, through this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I'd like us to think about tonight is words of life. In verse number 11, the Bible says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. That's a beautiful saying, a beautiful statement, but what does it mean? Well, a well, of course, is a source of water. A well is a source of drinking water, usually. Sometimes some wells are not good wells, but here it would be referring to those wells that were good drinking water, needed water to drink and irrigate crops and so on. A good well has a plenteous flow of good water. Sometimes there are wells that run dry. But here, as we look at this, we'd realize that the Lord is talking about the fact that this well of a righteous man, the mouth of a righteous man, is a well of life. It continues to bring forth life. It was the well, of course, where the drinking water came from back in that day, and it was often the ancient day water cooler, right? The conversations that began around the water cooler. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be in Genesis chapter 24, and we'll find that Abraham's servant met Rebekah at the well, watering her flocks. We find that Moses met his future bride at the well when he went to help her and chase away the wrong people that were there and help her to water her flocks. Jesus met the woman at the well in John chapter 4. The well was a place where people went to get water. It was a place where people met as they drew water from that well. Of course, as we are reminded in the story of Jesus and the woman at the well, the water had to be gotten out of depth of the well, and so that something had to be let down. Remember, she said the well is deep and you don't have anything to draw with. And of course, Jesus used that to communicate the gospel to her. But you imagine that water is always a blessed thing to us. But can you imagine living in a place where it's very arid and very dry? How much more water represented life, and a well represented life, that needed supply of something that would be life-giving. Another source of water, of course, was a cistern. In the Bible, there was wells and there were cisterns, apart from lakes and rivers and so on. But a cistern was a big difference than a well, wasn't it? A cistern caught the water off the roof and kept it and preserved it so it could be used. And we still do that today. When I was growing up, my parents lived out in the country, and we had a cistern. The well wasn't real, real bountiful, and we had a cistern that did all the washing and all that kind of thing. But I remember what happened to the cistern water sometimes in the middle of the summer. It got kind of rank and stinky. I remember my dad would take the lid off and pour bleach in there to kind of quit, you know, the smell. Because that well, it wasn't like a well. A cistern got stagnant. Whereas a well was flowing and bringing forth new water, the cistern was not so. And so our mouth here is compared to a well, which would indicate bountiful source of life. It indicates that our words are refreshing and meet the needs of the hearers. In Ephesians 4:29, it talks about our words being seasoned with salt, and I believe that's in Colossians. We're talking about ministering grace to the hearers, to minister grace to people, to meet the needs of people. Again, that's not the recycled cistern water, but it's fresh, flowing water that will be a help to people in their life. Your words can be used of God to bring life to people's hearts and lives. They may not show it on the outside, but people really are starving of thirst for words of peace and life in the world today. That goes, of course, for the gospel, because the gospel is life-giving to the soul that is athirst and desperately in need of the water of life. And again, Jesus used that well to describe the gospel and to talk about the gospel. But this world that we live in is full of discouraging, hurtful news, sad news. Every time you turn on the radio, what is it? Somebody died, or somebody was shot, or there's a war going on, or there's a famine over here, and all these things are going on in the world. And what do people need? They need life. They need to know about life, the life that is available in Jesus Christ as far as the gospel is concerned. But it also is involved in our everyday life as Christians, isn't it? Because Christians struggle. We go through difficulties. We go through hardships. We go through valleys in our life, and it seems like that it's dry and parched, and we need the words of life to encourage us, to strengthen us, to say, yes, I'm thankful. I need to be reminded of those scripture verses. You know, Jesus said that the words that he spoke were spirit and life. They uplifted the downtrodden, the downcast people, the people that the religious crowd had neglected and set aside and just, you know, often condemned. Jesus came to speak words of life to them and offer hope to them through the words that he spoke. And we have those words, the words of Jesus Christ, to give to this world that is in need of life. You think of the contrast in that verse that we read. It says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Violence is a strong contrast. The word of violence there speaks of injustice, oppression, wrong, and falsity. Think of life or injustice, wrong, and falsity. They're just so diametrically opposed, or so opposite. And the Bible says that we as righteous people, made righteous in Christ, our mouths can be life to people who are getting a steady diet of violence, oppression, falsity, and those kind of things. Some people's mouths spew forth words that, rather than bringing life, discourage, dash hopes, and depress people. Now, I'm not talking about we always need to have feel-good sermons and feel-good things and be the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about speaking the words of God to encourage people in their lives. The gospel to give hope and the words of encouragement to our fellow believers. And so I ask you tonight, is your mouth a well of life to those who are parched by the dry land in which we live? But we also realize that in our life we need to have wise words. Verse 13 says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Wisdom in our speaking, wisdom in our words. Are our words wise words? If there was ever a day where there were a lot of meaningless, empty words, I think we live in it today. I mean, you think about what is on TV. What are sitcoms? I mean, apart from the vulgarity that's often in them, I mean, take that aside for a moment. And really, what are they talking about? Just a whole bunch of nothing. You know, what goes on even, you know, we have Facebook Connect, and some of you do too, but you look at that, a lot of that stuff, and I know it's written, it's not spoken, but you think, it's just a lot of nothing. There's a lot of meaningless. I mean, there's some thoughtful things. Don't get me wrong. It can be used in a positive way. But think of what's on the TV and what's on a lot of media today. And it's just like a lot of empty, meaningless words. It's just like, why? Why do we have reality TV? Because a lot of reality TV is just a lot of junk, garbage. Just, what is it? What is it teaching us? What do we gain from it? But to speak wise words, the Bible says that we need to have understanding. How do we have understanding? Well, we gain understanding by studying the answers to things. Some of us have had doctor's appointments lately to help us understand what's going on in our life. And the doctor will take those test results and he will say, this is what's going on in your life. And this is what's going on in your body. This is what you need to do. He has studied what the human body, or she has studied the human body and knows what's going on, and they can tell you things because they have an understanding of it. They understand the human body, they understand medicine. Here we are speaking about wisdom, yes, in a general way, but we're speaking to us as Christians tonight, and we say we need to have an understanding of the Scriptures so that we can have wise words to give to people. We gain understanding it scripturally or biblically by spending time with God. Verse 10 of chapter 9 of Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Spend time with God and spend time in God's Word, and we'll gain the wisdom that then we can use to not only apply in our own lives, but to help other people as we speak. Christians can speak wise words when we have spent time with God and studying His Word. We ought not to expect to be able to share wisdom if we're not willing to study. Right? How can we have wisdom if we don't take time to learn some things? And learning is a lifelong process, and that's why, you know, the Bible talks about the aged having wisdom, because we do learn a lot of practical things as we go along in our life. But we need to take time to study in order to give good wisdom and good answers. In contrast to the mouth of the wise giving out instruction is the mouth of the foolish that the Bible says here is near destruction. Their lack of knowledge and understanding puts them in jeopardy of destruction. And so it's worthwhile to be able to take time to study so that we can get wisdom, so that we can speak wise words. And so our words should be words that are flowing with life, and also our words should be words that are wise words. But what about wicked words? What place do they have in the Christian? Well, verse 18 says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Wicked words. Lying lips are spoken of first here. Of course, lying is speaking untruth, speaking things that are false. In the context of what he says here, it's about hiding hatred with lying lips. The thought would be that somebody just says, oh, whatever, does lip service to something, it's lying to somebody just to gain from it. When really perhaps there's hatred underlying there, but they seem to, oh, yes, yes, how are you today? Oh, so wonderful to see you. When really it's like, I wish I hadn't run into you today. Lying lips. Lying is probably one of the easiest things in life to do, isn't it? I have to think that probably the easiest sin for almost every human being has to be to tell a lie. Because if you get yourself in a bind, a lie is just so easy to come out to try and justify what you did. But lying is wrong. God says in Proverbs 12:22 that lying lips are an abomination to Him. In chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, lying lips are one of the six things that God hates. In Psalm 31, verse 18, it says, "Let the lying lips be put to silence." So we realize that God does not want us to speak lies. He wants to speak truth. And that's what He says in Ephesians 4:25, "Putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for you are members of one another." We need to speak the truth. And so those wicked words of lying, we ought to put them away. And then slanderous words. Slander has the thought of a defaming somebody or an evil report. To speak intentionally badly of somebody, that's not right. It doesn't mean telling the truth about somebody to warn somebody else, but we need to be careful even how we do. How do we present that? Not as a slanderous way to try and make somebody look bad. We need to warn people about the falsity of somebody's life, perhaps, and about their way. But we need to be careful that it doesn't slip into slander or gossip. And sometimes a fine line. It's not easy, but it's wrong to slander, although it's right to tell the truth. We need to be careful. But the thought here is backbiting or talking badly of others to make people think less of them, which does what? Try to make us look good by making people think less of somebody else. We need to be careful what we say about others. I remember a long time ago being told, being preached a sermon, and being taught by a man who preached on the home a lot. And his thing was often, he came to our church year after year when I was a teenager. And I probably heard it many times from him and from his wife as they taught the church and the young people. And there were three questions. Is it kind? Is it true? And is it necessary? Three things that would probably stop a lot of what we say, wouldn't they? Is it kind? Well, is it true? Well, is it necessary? So if we answer those three questions, then it will eliminate a lot of the wrong kind of speech we should have about other people. It's easy to talk poorly of other people because it can make us feel better. But like lying, slander, gossip, backbiting, though they come easy, need to be put away. God said the person who slanders here, he that uttereth a slander, is a fool. That's pretty strong words that God uses there. He is a fool for using slanders. The other one is the multitude of words. There's nothing wrong with saying a lot, having a lot to say. But we need to be careful, don't we? Because the longer we talk, the more likely we are to get ourselves into trouble by what we say. If we don't guard our lips and be careful about what we are saying, sometimes we will get in trouble for things because we will say too much. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. How easy does a conversation, bountiful in words, veer off in a direction that shouldn't have gone? And that's why God says, "He that refraineth his lips is wise." There comes a time where we say, you know what, this conversation's heading in a wrong direction. I need to be careful, and it's probably best that I just quieten down right now. Lies, vulgar statements, gossip can easily slip into a conversation that starts out right, and starts out good, but in the multitude of words, sometimes we want to sound like we have something better to say than somebody else, and we start exaggerating and telling stories, and you know it so easily happens. Jesus said in Mark 12:36, pretty stern warning, He said, "Of every idle word that men speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment." Wow. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Every idle word, in other words, things that were said unnecessarily, we'll give account of them. Now, that doesn't mean they're all bad, but we'll give an accounting of what we've said. Was it wise to say it? Sometimes we're best to be sparing with our words, as He says there, that he that refraineth his lips is wise. And so we need to be careful about wicked words, but realize that there can be great value to our words. In verse 20, it says, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Two descriptions of valuable words here. The tongue that is like silver and lips that feed many. The tongue like choice silver. Choice has the thought of excellent or tried. In other words, silver gets refined. And so the thought is that the silver would be refined. So choice silver would be refined silver. Valuable, of course. Valuable words are words that are thought through before being spoken. Not everything that rolls off our tongue is worth saying. As we said a few moments ago, we need to be careful how we speak and what we say. There are some people that when they speak, you listen because you know what will be said is something that is worthwhile to listen to. There's some people that you know in your life, and you think about, we talked about how people are known for different kinds of conversation. There's some people that you say, they don't necessarily talk a lot, but when they speak something, that it's good to listen to them because they have some important things to say. Or maybe they do speak a fair bit, but the reality is that you know when you listen to them, something is going to come from their lips that is worth listening to. Not because of a prestigious thing that they are a celebrity or not celebrity, but just because you know that there will be something helpful that they will say. Maybe you know because you've seen what they've gone through in their life, or you've heard what they've gone through in their life, and you say, somebody that's had those experiences must have some words of great wisdom that I should give heed to and give ear to. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. It has that important and that value to it. And continuing the previous thought, often the choice tongue is one that speaks less words, but when it speaks, it's valuable things that is spoken. When people think of you, do they consider your words worth pausing to hear? It's a thought, isn't it? Because the tongue of the just is as choice silver. And it goes on to say then, the lips of the righteous feed many. We talked about life, water and life. Feeding, of course, equates to life as well. And so we see this here, that the wise, the righteous, feed many people with their lips. That's not the bird giving the worm to the baby bird, beak to beak. That's talking about the wisdom that is imparted by people who have learn what the Lord has for them and study the Word and have some things to say of value. And so their lips feed many people. The second part of that can be taken two ways, can't it? Because it says, fools die for want of wisdom. Is it true, and I believe it is in the world today, that there's a lack of people whose lips feed many people? And so there are people starving to death, shall we say, because they're not hearing words of wisdom. Then again, the other side of that coin is that fools die for want of wisdom is the fact that they don't listen to the lips of the righteous when they speak things that would feed them, would be a help to them. And so that helps us understand that sometimes we may feel like we're talking to the brick wall. Isn't that the old saying? I remember hearing that saying many times growing up. I just feel like I'm talking to a brick wall. In other words, you know, the person that was supposed to be listening wasn't listening. The fact that the Bible calls that the person dying for want of wisdom would indicate to me that it's people who won't listen, because God calls people foolish who won't listen to wisdom. But let's take heart in the fact that we can have words that we think will be a help to people. It doesn't mean that they'll always listen, but we need to be prepared to speak, to feed many people, as it were, with our lips. There are so many people who need to hear the life-giving, encouraging words of the Lord. The question is, who will tell them? Will we? Regardless of how good your words are, there are some people who will not listen. So don't be discouraged for trying, giving out the gospel, trying to be an encouragement. Don't be discouraged if it seems like it's falling on deaf ears, as the saying goes. But choose to use valuable words that are choice silver and that feed many. Then we end with the thought of appropriate words in verses 31 and 32. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the mouth of the froward tongue shall be cut out. Or the froward tongue, excuse me, shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. A froward tongue shall be cut out. Froward means perverse. Sad to say, there are many froward tongues today. As we said already, vulgarity comes out of many people's mouths. Some people are known for it. Sometimes it surprises us. I was just dealing with somebody yesterday buying some used tires, and I had to think of the language that came from this person's mouth. It surprised me as to who it was. Like, I didn't know the person, but I'm just saying by the age and so on of the person, I thought, couldn't you find better words to use than that? But we see that the Bible says, talks about the froward mouth and compares it to the mouth that knows what is acceptable, the person who knows what is acceptable language. Some people think that vulgarity and perverseness is okay and acceptable. And we said that at the beginning, that some people are known by their vulgar mouths and they're proud of that fact. They think it's acceptable, but the Bible tells us that one day every mouth will be stopped. And those vulgar things won't be said anymore because they're not appropriate. The Bible says the righteous know what is acceptable. That's a great statement for every area of our life, but how about as it relates to our speech? Acceptable has the thought of delight or good or pleasure. Acceptable speech is what is fitting and good for the occasion. But beyond that, I would say to you, acceptable speech is not what's acceptable in society because that's a fluid thing, isn't it? It wasn't too long ago that profanity and swearing wasn't heard in public, and now it is. Now it's accepted. Now people think, no big deal. So we're not talking about what is acceptable in society, because what is acceptable in society is not concrete and definite. It's fluid. It's changing. It's actually degrading. What is acceptable in society is the standard is getting less and less and less and less. It seems that there's no decorum in speech anymore. Listen to our politicians speaking. And you sometimes shake your head. I mean, if you want, I don't do it, but you know, if you want, you can get that cable channel and you can listen to them argue back and forth in the House of Commons. And sometimes you know, I've heard little clips of it. I don't listen to it, but you hear little clips of it and you think, we're paying them to represent us, and that's the way they talk to one another, and that's the way the kind of language that they use. Don't they know what is acceptable? That's just an example, isn't it, of our society. Again, we talked about the radio and the TV. People just have no restraint anymore. There's no restraint. They don't know what's acceptable. They don't know what should be right and wrong. They just let it fly out of their mouth. They just speak what they want, when they want, where they want. And you know, the more that happens, the more it's going to happen. Because people hear people talk like that, and they say, well, I guess it's okay to talk like that. So then more people talk like that, and then, as we said, the standard gets lower and lower and lower and lower. There seem to be no sacred places, as it were, or circumstances anymore where people are careful and mind their language and mind their speech. Vulgarity, cursing, perversity, spoken by so many in so many settings. And don't get me wrong, I don't believe there's ever a scenario that those things are right. But it used to be at least you'd know that you wouldn't hear them in certain settings. Now, people think nothing of using that kind of language anywhere they may be. And so acceptable speech here, when the righteous know what is acceptable, who is that acceptable to? I believe it's acceptable to God. And so what does the Bible say? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And then the psalmist said, maybe in thinking with that, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Being careful what we say. Do we speak according to what God says here? The Bible says that the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. It doesn't say the lips of the perfect. It says the lips of the righteous. Those have been made righteous by Christ. If you're saved here tonight, you're in that category, the righteous. Do you know what is acceptable? Do you speak what is acceptable with your lips. Frowardness has no place in the mouth of the righteous because it's described here as the speech of the wicked. The mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. So if there's froward things in your vocabulary, you better take a step back and see what that verse says and say, that shouldn't be there because I'm not lost, I'm saved, and therefore my words ought to be different and acceptable. So I ask you tonight, as we began, what are you talking about? And I look in the mirror and ask myself, what are you talking about? You'll be known by your speech, for good or for bad, for much or for little. But do your words offer life to the hearer? Are they wise because you seek to study for to answer? That doesn't mean we know every answer. But do we try and study out people's questions to answer them with wisdom? Are there wicked words in that vocabulary that need to be taken out and replaced by positive things? Is your mouth full of valuable words that feed people? Do you know how to use appropriate words? And remember that they're appropriate, acceptable before the Lord. Remember, one day we're going to give account for every word that proceeds out of our mouth before the Lord, who's heard them all, and a record has been made. May God help us to think about what we are talking about. Let's pray together.